The House, please come to order. Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will clerk please take the roll?
The roll shows 37 members present.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, no members excused from the call today.
Will members please rise for the invocation by Pastor Milton S. Hunt, Resurrection Lutheran Church.
Let us pray. Most gracious God, we give thanks for the bright sun streaming down on Juneau and spotlighting the green grass, the budding trees, and the blooming flowers. We welcome spring with joy and gladness. We know that all over this great land, signs of spring are showing. In Barrow, the temperature has climbed above zero and light has come to disperse the winter darkness. In Kotzebue, the warmer temperatures bring melting snow and thinning ice. The people of Nome wander out the leads in the ice pack and are spring seal hunting. Bethel streets are temporary seas of water and mud as the winter snowpack melts. Boats are being readied in dozens of communities from Dillingham to Ketchikan for the spring and summer fishing. Here, too, within the halls of our state capital, the signs of spring are showing. Continue the guide and negotiation of members among themselves and with the Senate and the governor. Thaw the stubborn ices of frozen opinions and warm the hearts of all the participants in this annual spring event. Let a sense of love for Alaska, its people, and one another continue through these days. We pray in the name of the teacher Jesus, who walked the spring hills of Galilee and used the flowers and the birds to show God's love, care, and concern for his people. Amen.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the prayer be spread on the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Next item on the daily order of business is the certification of the journal. I'm going to pass over the certification of the journal so that members of both caucuses will have an opportunity to read it. Some of us haven't had an opportunity to look it over since we had late session yesterday. So it brings us down to introduction of guests. Are the guests for introduction, Representative Cato?
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, I have the distinct pleasure of having the Cooper Landing 8th grade graduating class with their instructor. The students are Amy Romig, Rodney Fullenwider, Jenny Norris, and their teacher, John Sikowski.
Are there other guests for introduction? This brings us to messages from the Senate. No, messages from the governor. Are there messages from the governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
None.
Reports of standing committees?
Yes, I have one. The Rules Committee had Senate Bill 801, an act relating to financial statements of corporations, under consideration. This was taken from Labor and Commerce and referred to Rules on March 29th. The committee recommends due pass. Due pass was signed by Representative Fuller, Chairman, concurred in by Hayes and Phillips. This bill is on the calendar today. Those are all the committee reports this morning.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions?
I have a citation honoring Joanne Kester by Representative Carney. Those are all the citations.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
No bills, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Representative Grusendorf.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Upon a motion to recess, there will be a Democratic caucus in the Buttrovich room.
Representative O'Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also on a motion to recess, there will be a majority coalition caucus in the Speaker's chambers.
Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in recess to the call of the chair.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands in recess to the call of the chair. In order to establish a quorum, will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the roll.
The roll shows 26 members present.
Before the ADs, we were down to the consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 70 by the Resources Committee relating to commercial fishing of North Pacific Chinook salmon. The Resources Committee had the bill under consideration. It had been returned on 4/15 to Resources from Rules. Resources report shows replaced with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 70, Resources, with the same title, and recommends due pass. The due pass was signed by Representative Sutcliffe, co-chairman, concurred in by Barnes, Grusendorf, and Fanning.
We don't have enough members on the floor to advance. We can't adopt the committee substitute, however. Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House Resources Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read? Are there amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker, no amendments.
House, please stand at ease. We're going to have to round up a couple of
on whatever motion there is before us.
Okay, there is a.
I have to make a motion.
Benny Hoffman.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the Resources Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 70 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed in final passage.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I call the House on the motion.
House has been called. House, stand at ease. Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I'd lift the call of the House.
Call has been lifted. I'd like to have another quorum call. Members, as soon as a clerk can change the voting board. Thank you. I'd like to get another quorum call. Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the roll?
The roll shows 36 members present.
Before the at ease, we had a motion by Representative Halford to advance House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 70, Resources, from second to third reading and place the bill on final passage. Is there objection? There is objection. Are you ready for the question? Question is, Representative Duncan?
May we have a short at ease, please?
While we're, before we stand at ease, I'm going to replace the call on the House. House, please stand at ease. Back to order. Representative Fanning?
Mr. Speaker, could we briefly revert to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Representative Fanning?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my privilege in Gallery A to introduce to the members constituent and friend Paul Wagner, Jr., who is one of three Libertarian candidates from Fairbanks in District 21.
Representative Halford, for the benefit of those members who were not here prior to the placing of the call, would you restate your motion relating to committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 70 resources, and at this time I'll lift the call.
Mr. Speaker, the motion was that the House Resources Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 70 be considered engrossed, advance the third reading, and placed on final.
Is there objection? There is objection. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution number 70 resources be advanced from second to third reading and placed on final passage? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 36 yeas, 3 nays.
House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution number 70 resources has been advanced to third reading. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution number 70 by the Resources Committee relating to commercial fishing of North Pacific Chinook salmon.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution number 70 resources pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Vasca? Representative Vasca from No to Yes. Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 39 yeas, no nays.
House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 70 resources has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill number 186 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor entitled An Act Adopting the Interstate Corrections Compact and Providing for an Effective Date. The Judiciary Committee had Senate Bill 186 under consideration. The committee recommended due pass. The due pass was signed by Representative Barnes, Chairman, concurred in by Anderson, Meekins, and Phillips. There is a zero fiscal note with an analysis attached to the bill.
Are there amendments?
No amendments, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Halford?
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 186 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is objection. Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, I have a couple of questions that may ultimately lead to amendments. I don't know, direct these, I guess, to the chair of the Judiciary Committee. What impact would the legislation have in terms of actual transfer of prisoners? Was there any testimony that indicated that prisoners would be transferred out of the state or would potentially be transferred into the state because of our entering into this compact?
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Department of Health and Social Services in testimony before the committee did in fact say that prisoners that we would have within the state of Alaska would be able then to make changes with the other states that were signatory to this compact if in fact those prisoners that were incarcerated within the state of Alaska were transferred or if their home of residence were in another state that were signatory to the compact, that they could be transferred.
Representative Clarkson.
Well, Mr. Speaker, the compact itself doesn't say that we would just transfer people back to their home of residence. So there's a possibility that people who were residents of Alaska could be transferred outside of the state. The concern I'm getting to, of course, is our overcrowding situation here and whether this may well be used as a mechanism to transfer people outside of the state simply because the prisons were overcrowded here. And I wonder whether that was addressed in the Judiciary Committee.
Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, it was a testimony that they would their attempt would be to limit the people being transferred outside to those who are residents of other states and who come up here on some temporary basis and get in trouble with the law and eventually go to jail. And it's the philosophy, I think, of the corrections department here and of a lot of people in corrections that it's probably better policy to incarcerate people in their home state than in a state that they were just passing through. So that's, I think, a main benefit. The way they analyze it, there'll be more people going outside than coming up here. There will be some persons who might have committed a crime although residents of Alaska while outside the state, they would be coming up here. An additional benefit is a lot of the worst offenders that we have, the really the most heinous crimes and the most violent offenders, are not, in some cases, are not residents of the state and have just been sort of transients that are on the go and came to Alaska in a lot of cases to avoid prosecution in other states. So that's one benefit. And they gave a couple examples of certain inmates who would then be transferred outside the state, and it would improve our situation here. They believe that the net effect will be that we'll have an increase in the number or that more will go out than come up, so it'll ease our overcrowding situation. And there are some, although not very many, states that do have that don't have the overcrowding situation that we have and that a lot of other states do, so there'd be some ability to transfer them other places.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, the point raised by the representative to my right was addressed in the Judiciary Committee meeting. And Department of Health and Social Services testified that Alaskan residents, prisoners who are Alaskan residents, would not necessarily be transferred to prisons outside of the state of Alaska unless they came from another state, and that state happened to be a member of this pact. The concern raised, I think, is that perhaps prisoners from Alaskan resident prisoners would be transferred perhaps indiscriminately to other states and not be held here in the state of Alaska. According to Department of Health and Social Services, that will not happen because other states are just as hard-pressed for prison facilities as we are here in the state, so it's not a matter of Alaskans being taken away from Alaska.
Well, one additional question. I understand that there's difficulties with amending this, and maybe someone could speak to that. I do have some concerns. Many of the statements, I appreciate the intent of the department. Those statements are not reflected in the legislation, but I understand there are some problems with amending it. Maybe I could ask one of the previous speakers whether it's possible to amend this without breaching the compact. And I see they are on their feet to answer, but page 1, line 14, allows adoption in a form substantially as follows. And I wonder whether that allows amendments to address the concerns I have.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The testimony in the committee from, again, the Department of Health and Social Services was that, in fact, that this is model legislation and that it has to be left intact. So we, therefore, made no amendments to this bill in the Judiciary Committee.
Representative Clarkson.
Well, Mr. Speaker, again, speaking to the question of wholesale transfer of people outside the state, I don't believe that's the answer to our overcrowding problems in Alaska. In fact, the legislation, page 3, lines 18 through 21, that's the standard for transferring somebody outside of the state under this provision, and all you need to show is that it's necessary or desirable in order to provide adequate quarters or care. There's nothing in there that says that a person should be a resident of the other state. So it is, despite the statements of intention by the department, it is possible that there could be wholesale transfers out of the state simply because our facilities are overcrowded. I'm concerned about that, Mr. Speaker, because, as this body well knows, I'm very concerned about rehabilitation of criminals in an effort to correct their ways so they can go back into society and be constructive members of society. Mr. Speaker, all of the literature that's available on rehabilitation indicates that one of the strongest factors in providing rehabilitation to prisoners is to keep them close to their home base, keep them close to their families, keep them close to communities where they've lived, and keep them in a position where there is encouragement for them to participate in rehabilitation and to have their families close and to continue those contacts so that they aren't completely isolated. That would happen, Mr. Speaker, if people were transferred outside the state simply because our prisons were overcrowded. Mr. Speaker, I think that there is concern, despite the statements of the department, I have concern about that, and about the effect that this legislation would have on our efforts to develop rehabilitation programs. That is a fairly new effort in the state to try to develop programs that provide alcohol counseling and treatment and sex offender treatment and such as that. Mr. Speaker, I'd just like to quote a little bit from the letter, transmittal letter from the governor on this bill. One sentence indicates one of the benefits of this legislation would be that a wider range of rehabilitative programs would be available without the increased costs attendant in establishing such programs within our own correctional facilities. Now, if you try to read a little bit between the lines there, and perhaps it's not intended, one of the goals of this legislation may well be to avoid the expense of developing rehabilitation programs for Alaska prisoners and then simply dealing with our overcrowding problem, not by building more prisons or by dealing with sentencing or the other ways that you can potentially do that, work release, for example, which is totally impossible when you send somebody out of the state because they don't have any contact to the job market. So what I'm concerned about is that we're going to transfer people out of the state, not develop rehabilitation programs because we think we're going to get them into programs in other states, and thereby abdicate what I think is the state's responsibility to attempt to rehabilitate people who've been placed in those prisons. I do have concerns. I understand the problem with amending this. I guess since I don't have amendments prepared, I didn't prepare them and because of the problem of amending this and perhaps messing up the agreement with the states, I guess I would encourage the body not to advance this to third reading so that we could look into the possibility of amendments and whether or not they would some amendments, since it says it could be in a form substantially as follows, that some minor amendments limiting the transfers to those who are residents of another state or assuring that rehabilitation will in fact rehabilitation programs will be developed in Alaska. I'd like to look at the possibility of those amendments. I certainly don't want to mess up a compact among the states. So point of all this is I would oppose advancement to third reading at this point so that we can get an extra day to look at this question and try to figure out whether there's any short-term solutions.
Representative Meekins.
Speaker, in answer to some of the concerns of my colleague from District 7, I think it is a good idea to have community-based corrections, which is pretty much in vogue now in correctional circles and is, in fact, what we believe in this state, as at least our correctional people. The problem pointed out by the other member was that perhaps we'd take people that really are members of our community in Alaska here and ship them outside the state. And that is a possible thing that could happen. Again, the department testified they wouldn't be doing that, but I can see how it'd be of concern. But yeah, I think you have to look at the other benefits, and I think the net trade-off is very positive, and that is that there are some people now who are not in their communities, who are not having community-based corrections because they're from Oklahoma or Arizona, and they've committed a crime in Alaska, and they're being incarcerated up here. This would allow us to ship those people back to their own states, which would be two benefits: the benefit for the individual in terms of community-based corrections, and secondly, the benefit for the state because that person's not taking up one of our beds. Also, of course, having you know, rehabilitation efforts and all the resources that the community can bring to a person who's a resident of that community is important for rehabilitation, but it is not as important a factor as overcrowding. I think all the studies indicate that the most serious condition that prevents any kind of rehabilitation, that encourages all sorts of insidious things that go on inside a prison, from riots to gang warfare and that type of thing, is largeness and overcrowding. And that's the problem that we have that this compact addresses. It allows us to send some of our prisoners outside the state. Again, those would be the ones that are not residents of the state, according to the Department of or Division of Corrections. You have to also consider that right now we have hundreds of state residents who are outside in federal prisons. And I think if you're going to look at the trade-off, it'd probably be better for us to have the option of picking not those massive warehouses that the federal government has, which don't really have any kind of rehabilitation that's worthwhile, in fact are just schools for crime and have all sorts of internecine gang warfare going on. Rather than having to pick those, we could pick some smaller state correctional facilities if we did have to ship any of our people out, and we'd have the ability to use those people that are signatories to the contract. So I think that would also be a benefit in terms of those possibilities. But I think all in all, it's really a be an advantage for the state and for the inmates in terms of rehabilitation to enter into this compact.
Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, there are some policy questions and problems with this bill that I think would justify defeating advancement, not with regard to any games on the floor or political stuff, but really on the merits, because I think the members will really want to look at this carefully. That is that if, say, the state of Alabama has this compact, and they send us a prisoner who's being incarcerated in Alaska as a result of this compact, I don't know if that's likely, but it could happen. The compact itself says that all of the due process rights of that prisoner, even while he is in the state of Alaska, are defined by the law of the sending state. Some of the sending states have pretty backward attitudes about what individual rights really are compared to the rights that Alaskans have. I don't know if that's a good policy decision for us to make. Also, the question about whether or not the compact is amendable is not as easily answered as some might think. A compact basically is a contract, and whether or not an amendment was so substantial as to violate the compact would be based upon the judgment of a state who chose to note a difference as an excuse for not accepting our prisoners or sending us prisoners or something like that, and basically in the nature of what the gentleman from District 7 knows in contract law is called a so-called permissible response to a breach. So there's a tremendously foggy area here as to what is an acceptable amendment that would not be in a form substantially as follows and what would not be. And there are some serious policy problems in the legislation. I have seen the legislation before, and I worried about those problems before. So based on that, so that we make sure we know what we're doing, particularly in things that involve the rights of individuals who may not be Alaskan residents but are within the state of Alaska, and many people might believe ought to have the rights that our Constitution and laws afford, I think it'd be worth defeating the motion to go to third reading just to make sure that we slow down the process and take a very careful look at the legislation.
Representative Clarkson.
Just in response to my fellow member from District 7, I think that once again, to make it clear, he did make the argument, apparently, that this compact is a solution to overcrowding. That is, if we're overcrowded, we can send people out of the state, some of those people. That's why I asked the question, how many of them there are from other states. I don't know how many people that's going to be and whether that's going to deal with our overcrowding problem. Let me make sure that people understand. I don't think this legislation is a solution to the overcrowding problem in Alaska's prisons. There are other solutions. This isn't it. And the reason is, and Mr. Speaker, I've represented some of these people, so I know what I'm talking about. You got somebody who gets drunk and beats somebody up, who lives perhaps in a village or in Anchorage, who's never been anyplace else, who very possibly is a native, has never been outside the state. You put that person in prison for a couple of years because they don't have decent representation, and then the department under this legislation sends them to Alabama. That's the worst possible thing for you can do for that person. The worst possible thing, to take them away from their family, to take them away from alcohol treatment programs that are uniquely created and conducted for that specific type of person, and take them away from their family, their job situation, the prison industries program that hopefully this legislature will adopt. You take that person away from all of that, send them away where they don't know anybody, very potentially English is their second language, not their first language. It's the worst thing you can do with somebody. That doesn't argue against the intent of this legislation. I think it's excellent. It potentially can be abused and misused, and that's my concern. I think we ought to spend another day to look at it so I can check into the question of amendments to it that would not breach the compact.
So further debate. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 186 be advanced from second to third reading, placed on final passage? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 25 yeas, 11 nays.
The motion to advance from second to third reading has failed to pass the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 266 by the Judiciary Committee entitled An Act Establishing an Official Policy of Using Neutral Pronouns in the Alaska Statutes and Providing for an Effective Date. Judiciary Committee had the bill under consideration, recommended replace with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 266 by Judiciary with the same title, and that it do pass. The do pass was signed by Representative Barnes, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins and Phillips. Anderson signed, no recommendation. There is a zero fiscal note with an analysis attached to the bill.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House Judiciary Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection. Representative Rogers.
Speaker, I think the Judiciary bill is preferable to existing law, but I note that the Judiciary Committee took out one sentence from the bill, and that was that the reviser is directed to avoid the use of pronouns denoting masculine or feminine gender in the printed pamphlets of the statutes as they're scheduled for reprinting. We've had one similar bill before this body, and that was changing workman's compensation to workers' compensation. The way we did that was to direct the reviser to make the change the next time the book was printed, and to avoid the use and then to avoid the use whenever we were changing any laws. And I'm just wondering if there's a particular reason why we should eliminate that sentence.
Representative Meekins.
Speaker, I believe this was at the request of the reviser, and it was simply a question of not being able to get through those things before they're scheduled for reprinting. They said they would do it as a matter of course, and they gave a long litany of how there's only two of them and they need lots more work, and they're not only revisers, but they do a lot of other different work, and it was just a technical impossibility to get there, and he asked us to take this out and that they would do it as a matter of course, you know, as they can anyway, but this at least wouldn't force them to do it for the next printing. That was the only problem.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I withdraw my objection to the committee substitute.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, just clarification. I think I understand where we're going, but the intent of this will be that there'll be no printing or no work done just in the process of doing this. This will take place in the natural, normal course of events without additional expense, manpower, or printing-wise. Is that correct?
I see several members of the Judiciary Committee nodding their head yes. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess it's not polite to nod your head, so I would stand up and answer that. That is true. There will be no additional expense, and it will be done as the statutes are revised.
Is the objection maintained to the adoption of the House Committee substitute in lieu of the original bill? Hearing none, the House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 266, Judiciary, is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
No amendments, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Judiciary Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 266 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 266 by the Judiciary Committee entitled An Act Establishing an Official Policy of Using Neutral Pronouns in the Alaska Statutes and Providing for an Effective Date.
Is there debate? Are you ready, Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, I just want to encourage adoption of this legislation. We've seen throughout the years some pretty silly examples of the rule that used to exist or that exists now with regard to the masculine gender and such. I just want to give you a couple of them. The first is in the discrimination laws of the state. The state discrimination laws prohibit discrimination based on sex, and I won't read it all to you, but in that statute itself, the reference is to he throughout that statute. So while we have a statute which prohibits discrimination, the words that implement that prohibition, in fact, use the masculine gender, and I don't think that makes much sense. The other example, Mr. Speaker, is even more ridiculous. In the disorderly conduct statute for the state, one of the areas of disorderly conduct is so-called nude dancing. And Mr. Speaker, because they use the masculine gender, we find the following in the statutes under disorderly conduct. No person may, or a person violates this section on disorderly conduct if, and I quote, he intentionally exposes his female breasts.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 266 Judiciary pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 35 yeas, 3 nays.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 266 Judiciary has passed the House. Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to the roll call on final passage of House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 266 be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to give notice of reconsideration of my vote for House Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Senate Bill 266.
Representative Vasquez has given notice of reconsideration for his vote on Senate Bill 266. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill number 765, amended by Senator Ray, entitled An Act Exempting the Importation of Alcoholic Beverages for Religious Purposes from a Prohibition on the Importation of Alcoholic Beverages into Municipalities or Villages. The Judiciary Committee had Senate Bill 765 amended under consideration. The committee recommended replace with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 765 by Judiciary, entitled An Act Exempting the Importation of Sacramental Wine for Religious Purposes from a Prohibition on the Importation of Alcoholic Beverages into Municipalities or Villages. The report was signed, the due pass was signed by Representative Barnes, Chairman, concurred in by Buchholz, Freeman, Phillips, and Meekins. Anderson had no recommendation.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Judiciary Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 765 is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
No amendments, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 765 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 765 by the Judiciary Committee entitled An Act Exempting the Importation of Sacramental Wine for Religious Purposes from a Prohibition on the Importation of Alcoholic Beverages into Municipalities or Villages.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 765, Judiciary, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 37 yeas, no nays.
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 765, Judiciary, has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill number 801 by Ferguson by request, entitled An Act Relating to Financial Statements of Corporations. This bill was taken from rules from Labor and Commerce Committee and referred to rules on March 29th. The Rules Committee reported the bill out with a due pass. The report was signed by Fuller, Chairman, concurred in by Hayes and Phillips.
Are there amendments?
I have no amendments, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent Senate Bill 801 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed in final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Senate Bill number 801 by Ferguson by request, entitled An Act Relating to Financial Statements of Corporations.
Is there debate? Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, the bill adds a new paragraph, so it isn't changing any existing statutes, but I would ask whoever can answer the question, does this definition change existing procedure or existing law with regard to the corporations that are affected? That is, by adding a definition, are we excluding something or adding something that needs to be in these financial statements that isn't now?
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No, it doesn't. This is just a definition of the financial statements of the corporation. The first thing it does, it just prepares the financial statements according to accounting principles. And the second thing it does, it brings the statements of subsidiary companies will be consolidated with their parent corporations, and that's all it is, just a definition.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 801 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 38 yeas, no nays.
Senate Bill 801 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 759, Resources, amended by the Resources Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Size of Trapping Cabins. Resources Committee had the bill under consideration. The committee recommended as follows. Fanning, Chairman, Sutcliffe, and Carney signed due pass. Halford and Grusendorf, no recommendation. I have an amendment on my desk.
There is an amendment?
Yes.
That's the resources amendment. Representative Halford, would clerk please read the amendment?
The amendment is to the Senate committee substitute. By Fanning, page 1, lines 11 and 25, delete, but not be limited to, on line 25, delete at each cabin.
Representative Fanning.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Fanning.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, we didn't notice this when this went through committee, but later we were able to get a copy of the regulations that have been developed by the department under the statute. And it happens that number four down on line 25 and 26, I think, is a good example of why on line 11 we should delete the words but not be limited to. Number four says adequate provision must be made at each cabin for waste and garbage disposal as determined by the director. Well, Mr. Speaker, it's obvious in to anybody who is familiar with trapping throughout the state of Alaska that that's not reasonable. And in fact, the director also recognized that. because the primary way of disposing waste at trapping cabins is to haul it out. Frequently there are, it's impossible. The only time you get there is in the winter. You've got permanently frozen ground. Current regulations require that all garbage and waste must be burned or incinerated, inert residues and other non-combustibles buried and covered with at least 1 foot of compacted soil, and putrescible waste such as food waste, animal carcasses that are not incinerated shall be buried or covered with at least 4 foot of compacted soil, for example. And that would, in fact, meet with the requirements as stated in this law. It's not practical, and people don't do that. In fact, animal carcasses are primarily used for bait elsewhere. And by the law, you'd have to bury them at a cabin in ground with 4 foot of soil. That's very difficult, if not impossible, to do. But then the regulation goes on and states all garbage or waste that cannot be burned or buried shall be packed out to a site where it can be burned or buried satisfactorily. And relative to this body's action on a previous bill to make the statutes more acceptable in line with what they really intend, I think that it's proper that we delete the words at each cabin, which in fact would allow you to haul your trash away. Currently the statutes don't allow you to do that, and so it's just reasonable that you should be able. All the way from the cabin site, which in fact is what many people do. In the first sentence, the change but not be limited to the following, I think, is real obvious. If you leave the existing language, it would be perfectly permissible for a director in the future to come up with all kinds or whatever restrictions that he wanted to. And I think that we would all agree that giving that type of authority is not what the legislature intended. Otherwise, we wouldn't specifically have listed the things that we think need to be covered. I would point out that with or without this, other existing statutes and authorities given the director do allow for, under any special land use permits, which this is applicable to, and I have a trapping cabin permit before me and can give you an idea of the other things that are required. For example, an applicant assumes full responsibility for forest fire prevention within the cabin structure in an area of 150 feet of it, and full liability for damaging resulting from his negligence and so forth. This change would not have an impact on that, and I think that's reasonable and good, but I think it's just pretty much a conforming change that would allow us to do what we want.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I after hearing the explanation, I'm going to withdraw my objection. I don't think that the amendment on line 11 has the effect stated. It just says it shall include. It doesn't say that it is limited to the following, so if the member wants to limit it to those items, probably ought to be changed. I would ask the clerk on line 17 at the end of the line, there should be a hyphen at the end of the line that can be corrected in
yes, I will advise the clerk. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, along the same line as the previous speaker, I don't think that the amendment accomplishes the express purpose, particularly the amendment on line 11. There's been a lot of discussion of legislative drafting and whether the but not be limited to language is necessary in order to make sure that someone could do more than that. I think that even if you delete that language, the department would have the authority to adopt additional conditions because of the way it's worded. And in fact, you may get the reverse result from what the sponsor of the amendment wants. He listed a bunch of regulations that he thought were entirely appropriate. If his intention prevailed in the amendment, none of those would be allowed as well. That is, they would be limited only to the items that are on this page as conditions to the issuance of a permit. So I'm a little confused. His intent would delete regulations that he apparently thinks are a good idea, but I don't even think that intent can be accomplished. It's a very complicated issue. I've discussed it with the bill drafters before about not be limited to language and whether they can adopt other conditions. But I agree with the prior speaker that you need to be very specific. If you don't want them to add any other conditions to the permit, you got to say so. And this, again, goes to my longstanding argument with regard to regulation review and this legislature's role, and you eliminate problems with the administrative agencies if you draft the statutes clearly the first time so that there is no possibility that they can misinterpret them and not comply with the legislative intent. I think there's a perfect example where what's been said on this floor is different than what the effect of the amendment would actually be. So while I think I probably agree with the merits of his argument. I don't think he's getting there with this amendment.
Representative Fanning?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I apparently didn't make myself entirely clear. I stated that there are additional things, for example, as I read on an existing trap line permit, which are reasonable and which, with the amendment, the director would still have the authority to put on the amendment, such as liability responsibility for forest fires. And, of course, that's not mentioned anywhere in this statute nor in the regulations specifically under trapping cabins in the Alaska regulations. But the amendment would still allow the director to do those, but specifically it would suggest to the department that these are the things that we want included, and we don't want him making additional phony regulations. And I think that it does that, and it specifically accomplishes making it legal to haul trash away. So I think it is a good amendment.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I object to the first part of the regulation, or first part of the amendment, in stipulating that what the amendment is trying to do is limit the powers of the commissioner or the director. The fact that you're trying to take out but not limited to simply says that if in fact there are problems that are different in Southeast Alaska than Interior Alaska, you have to make regulations for both of them, or you have to write statutes for both different areas. The power that the director has in adjusting his regulations to the statutes is greater if he has but not limited to. I can't see having to pass a whole bunch of laws because the director doesn't have the power to make regulations. Someone has to do that when there are some small piddly regulations that need to be made, whether it's picking up trash or whether it's digging holes. The problem with limiting the director's power is you're then applying statewide regulations to a very varied state, and I have problems with that. I would much rather see an individual be able to promulgate regulations for piddly things and not have to go through the regular process of going through the legislature to give him additional powers.
Representative Fanning.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As all prior speakers except the first one, except the one who just spoke, indicated, the amendment does not, in fact, do that. The amendment does not limit the director's power in any way. It simply takes out the words, but not be limited to. All the bill drafters have said that if it includes this, then, in fact, he still does have the flexibility and the ability to add additional things, such as the forest fire thing or a special thing in Southeast. It does indicate that these, as listed, the five things, are the things that we in the legislature feel should be mandated of everybody. That's all.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, there seems to be some debate over the desirability of the first part of the amendment. I believe the question is capable of division. I would move and ask unanimous consent the question be divided.
Is there objection to division of the question? Hearing none, there will be a division of the question. See the first, are you ready for the question? The question before us is the adoption of amendment number one to the committee substitute for Senate Bill 759, resources amended. The division of the question would put before us the first portion of the amendment dealing with line 11, which would be delete but not be limited to. If you're ready for the question, members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 22 yeas, 15 nays.
The language in the amendment dealing with line 11 has been adopted. This brings us to the second part of the question dealing with amendment number one. Are you ready for the question? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 32 yeas, 5 nays.
The second half of amendment number 1, dealing with line 25, has been adopted by the House. Are there further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that resources can be substituted for Senate Bill 759, amended House, be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, placed in final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 759, resources, amended House, entitled, an act relating to the size of trapping cabins.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 759, resources amended House, pass the House, members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Roll shows 36 yeas, 1 nay.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 759, resources amended House, has passed the House. The next item on today's calendar, or the next items are several citations. Unless there is objection, I'm going to ask the majority leader for a motion that all citations on the day's calendar be adopted and ask unanimous consent. Representative Miller.
Briefly, Mr. Speaker, would we be able to submit the slip to the clerk to have our names added under?
Yes. Yes, you may just send up a slip of paper. Okay. And
then no objection, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
Representative Duncan. Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations appearing on today's calendar be adopted.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citations appearing on the day's calendar are adopted. This brings us to unfinished business. One item of unfinished business, I could probably handle it under announcements, but I would like for members to review their limbo file, make sure you have it on your desk, and check to see what's in there to make it certain it's up to date. There are some conference committee reports and other items that we'll very likely be dealing with tomorrow or in the near future. Is there other unfinished business to come before the body? Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, just a sort of an announcement, but under unfinished business. Yesterday we had a request from the conference committee that I had submitted for limited powers of free conference, I guess it would be. And it was pointed out that we had an at ease because of a question, and it was pointed out to me by several members that I'd probably done that technically wrong. This is the first year we have to ask for limited powers of free conference, and I didn't know exactly which way to do it. And originally just asked for limited powers, and that was evidently too broad. And so then I got too specific. So I'm going to withdraw that and do it correctly. And also it's been pointed out that the Senate has to have the same list, whatever the list is. So we just didn't go through the right procedure. So that's why we're not going to be dealing with that. But it'll be coming back in a day or so.
I might note that that has been withdrawn from the clerk's desk. Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, several weeks ago I was asked and was excused from a call of the House on Friday, May 7th. At this time I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that excuse be withdrawn.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Adams. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Is there further unfinished business to come before the body? Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that CS for Senate Bill number 864, Finance, an act continuing the existence of the Alaska Code Revision and amending the statutes relating to its responsibility, be waived from the Judiciary Committee. The reason for this being, Mr. Speaker, that the Judiciary Committee did take testimony on the code revision and submitted to you our code revision recommendations, and we waited for the Senate vehicle. What they did was ask for the work that we had prepared, so this is essentially the work that we did in the Judiciary Committee, so I would like to waive it.
What's the next committee of referral, if you know? While you're looking, is it Finance?
Yes.
Next committee of referral is Finance. Is there objection? Hearing none, the committee substitute for Senate Bill 864, Finance, will be waived from the Judiciary Committee and sent to the next committee of referral, which is Finance. Is there other unfinished business to come before the body? Representative Meekins.
At ease, please.
House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Representative Meekins.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call from June 15th to July 20th.
Is there objection? Hearing none, members excused on the dates requested. Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was considering maybe amending that there to July or May 6th, but that's okay. I'd like to give notice of reconsideration on my vote there for Senate Bill 801.
Representative Zaroff has given notice of reconsideration for his vote on Senate Bill 801. Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 759.
Representative Vasca has given notice of reconsideration for his vote on Senate Bill 759. Is there other unfinished business to come before the body? Announcements. Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Finance will meet Wednesday at 1:30 to take up the following bill, Senate Bill 697, establishing the Alaska Resource Corporation, Senate Bill 856, it's relating to the interest of delinquent taxes, Senate Bill 69, making driver's improvement course mandatory, Senate Bill 872, relating to health, sanitation, and sanitary practice in the seafood processing industry and other industry that produce food and for human consumption and providing for an effective date.
Other announcements? Representative Meekins.
Conference Committee on Loans will be meeting this afternoon. We'll post all the details.
Other announcements? Special orders? I'm going to ask the Majority Leader for a recess motion to 1:55. We have a joint session at 2 o'clock. Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent. The House stand in recess until 1:55.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands in recess until 1:55 p.m. The House, please come to order. According to, with the uniform rules, the President of the Senate presides over a joint session in the presence of the Speaker. So at this time, turn the gavel over to the President of the Senate, Senator Catula.
Senator Anderson?
Here.
Senator Bennett?
Here.
Senator Bradley?
Here.
Senator Coletta?
Here.
Senator Dankworth?
Here.
Senator Eliason?
Here.
Senator Fahrenkamp?
Here.
Senator Ferguson?
Here.
Senator Fisher?
Here.
Senator Gilman?
Here.
Senator Kelly? Senator Mulcahy?
Here.
Senator Parr?
Here.
Senator Ray?
Here.
Senator Rohde?
Here.
Senator Sackett?
Here.
Senator Stimson?
Here.
Senator Sturgeluski? Senator Ziegler?
Here.
Senator Curtula?
Here.
The roll shows 20 senators present.
Would the Speaker please conduct the roll of announcement?
Will members of the House please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the roll?
The roll shows 39 members present.
Message of April 29, dear Mr. President, under Article 2, Section 15 of the Alaska Constitution, I have vetoed Senate CS for House Bill 640, Jude, amended Senate relating to games of chance and contests of skill and providing for an effective date.
Mr. President, I also rise in opposition to the veto override. I think the governor did exactly the right thing in vetoing this legislation, and I think he did it for exactly the right reasons, Mr. President. Gambling is not good. That's one of the reasons that he vetoed this legislation. Another reason is that the expansion of gambling is no good. That's exactly what this legislation does. The legislation that was passed by both bodies not only includes poll tabs, Mr. President, it also includes or allows municipalities in the state of Alaska and also boroughs in the state of Alaska to participate in these gambling activities. I think, Mr. Speaker, that if we were to examine what has happened in other places around the country, it would be fairly easy to see that this expansion of gambling activities could very well put us in the same kind of a situation that they have in several other places around the country. As an example, in New York City, or rather in the state of New York, where they have the New York Lottery. There's no reason in the world, with this kind of legislation, that some municipality or perhaps all of the municipalities in the state of Alaska could do exactly the same thing. This is a very radical, in my opinion, very radical expansion of gambling activities. The main concern that I have, and I think everybody else should have, is that in reports compiled by the Department of Revenue for 1981, there was $17,641,692 taken in through the various gambling activities. Mr. President, of that $17 million, $2 million, almost $3 million, went to the charitable organizations. That was in 1981. In 1982, the report for 1982 states that $12,770,000, almost $13 million, was taken in by way of these gambling activities. And again, $2 million was forwarded on to the charitable organizations. There are those that will undoubtedly stand in defense of this bill and say that a large portion of this money went for prizes. This is the expense of running the gambling games. I don't think there's any information that has been brought before this, either of these bodies or in any committee that I listened to, that would indicate what amount of money was spent for prizes, what amount of money was allocated for expenses. The truth of the matter is, Mr. President, that a substantial amount, almost all of the money taken in through these sources, has gone to some other place, some other source, rather some other recipients. The problem is that we, under the terms of this bill, don't know where the money is going to go. So far, according to the reports that the Revenue Department has put out, we don't know where the money has gone. Under the terms of this bill and expanding gambling with this bill, again, we're not going to know where the money is going. I think we can all surmise, however, that the money is not going to go to charitable organizations.
Thank you, Mr. President. Originally, as Chairman of Labor and Commerce, I worked for the original bill because at that time it stuck to its main purpose of private charity organizations who I feel have done a good job over the years in providing public services that are sorely needed and certainly are a better solution than the government paying for various services. However, since this bill had been amended to a degree that is certainly is detrimental to the public, and I don't have before me now, but I wish I had it. I did give it to the governor, a report that was done by the U.S. Commission on Gambling. It definitely shows that every community that has gotten involved in gambling programs on behalf of the city had been detrimental to those cities, and especially the poor people. The poor people are the ones who are susceptible most to a get-rich scheme, as is promoted in New York, Nevada, New Jersey, and other places. And they're finding out that what little revenues are gained are easily absorbed by needing more police for protection to stop the illegal gambling. In this particular case, we find that by allowing municipalities and larger entities to compete against private organizations, there's just no doubt that the private charities will be overrun in no time. It's just pure competition. Also, that we noticed on page 2, section 22, we say, or nonprofit trade association. Today, it's very much in a discussion who's making profit and who's not making profit and what is a nonprofit organization. This is so misused today that I'm sure any legal identity of business would soon get into just by claiming no profits. I think that we've gone too far with this bill now, and I think that to override the governor's veto would be a disservice to the public.
Mr. President, I rise in support of the bill. Seems like we've had a lot of discussion about major expansion here, and I think I agree with Senator Parr, who earlier indicated a couple of major places of opposition. One of those was the Department of Revenue, and I think, in fact, that the reason this bill is before us is some rulings from the Department of Revenue. Regarding municipalities, I'd like to read just very briefly from a February 4th, 1981 memo to Joe Donahue, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Revenue from the Wilson Conlon, the Attorney General. It indicates there, you've asked this department for an opinion as to whether municipalities are eligible to obtain permits to conduct bingo games under AS 515. It appears that a number of municipalities, primarily in the rural areas of the state, have been receiving permits from your department, have been holding bingo games for many years. Last year, your audit division realized that issuance of bingo permits to political subdivisions has been specifically prohibited by a regulation adopted by your department in 1960. In other words, for many, many years, this went on until 1981. The bill that you have before you, the subject of the hopefully the override, brings back that status quo. So I don't think that we're coming into a major expansion. We're just putting into law what's been really thought was in the law for many years. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President, I rise in support of overriding the veto of this bill, and I'll tell you why. This is the biggest state of gamblers you ever saw. I've heard some of the previous speakers talk about municipalities getting in the gambling game, but good Lord, they gamble every time they send one of us down here if they're going to get anything back. And so if that's not adding anything into the gambling deal, you gamble every time you get in your car. The purpose of this bill originally was a pull tab bill. And I think one of the senators just made a nice note on that. But I would say that it might be a way for a lot of the people that are losing a lot of the benefits. We're talking about outboard motorboat association, for example. The Yukon 800 is going to be down the tube. We take in this legislature and we put money in a Iditarod. The Yukon 800 is not asking, for example, for money to help them run their races. They're just asking you and the rest of us to allow them to have a pull tab bill. They're not gambling in that sense there, and yet every one of us are gamblers, Mr. President, and I hope that we will override this veto of the governor and let us all continue to gamble and be part of it.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in opposition to this bill. When this bill was before the House Judiciary Committee, we chose to limit its scope as far as we could and still pass a bill out of the committee. When this bill passed from this body, it was in a limited state. It is now, in my opinion, a wide-opening gambling law in the state of Alaska. I would like to go on record that for once I agree with the governor. It's not often I have an opportunity to say that, so I would like to say that I agree with his message and I agree with his veto.
All for the question. Question. Fire has the floor.
President, just to reply to Representative Anderson's comment, I have here in my hand the letter from the Department of Revenue, which says that I know that 12 million was lost from last year. It says roughly $9 million went down the price. The exact figure is $8,970,651 went back in price. So to say that we don't know.
Representative Chakwuk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I regret that the public has to go through this route to try and accumulate funds to run their projects when we, as a state of Alaska, have so much money to play around with all other kinds of frivolous projects that we poured millions into and not address the needs of those people out there. Until we come up with an alternative to support their programs, I will continue to support this, and I would urge the members to override the governor's veto.
Senator Bradley has been seeking the floor for some time.
Mr. President, I'm not for gambling, but I am for pull tabs, bingo, raffles, et cetera, as I am for the game Monopoly, chess, and other similar games whereby you win or lose something. I also am for competitive sports where you also win or lose something by taking a chance of winning or losing. These funds support many charities. We have much documentation as to that. I only wish it wasn't opened up to all organizations, but it is. This is on the bill we can get through, so therefore I support it.
Question has been called for. The House voted first in the last joint session. The Senate will vote first this time. However, Secretary of the Senate, start with the name following Senator Bennett, and then end with Senator Bennett, with the President being the final name.
Restate the question.
The question is, shall Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 640, Judiciary, amended by the Senate, become law, notwithstanding the governor's veto? A vote yes means you will override the governor's veto. A no vote means to sustain the governor's veto. Secretary may poll the Senate.
Senator Bradley.
Yes.
Senator Coletta.
Yes.
Senator Dankworth.
No.
Senator Eliason.
No.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Yes.
Senator Ferguson.
Yes.
Senator Fisher.
Yes.
Senator Gilman. Senator Kelly?
No.
Senator Mulcahy?
No.
What was that? Yes or no?
That's a yes.
Yes.
Senator Parr?
Yes.
Senator Ray?
Yes.
Senator Rohde?
Yes.
Senator Sackett?
Yes.
Senator Stimson?
Yes.
Senator Sturgiluski?
Yes.
Senator Ziegler?
Yes.
Senator Anderson?
No.
Senator Bennett?
Yes.
Senator Curtula?
Yes. Does anyone wish to change his or her vote? Secretary named Caldwell.
The roll shows 16 yeas, 4 nays.
Will the Speaker poll the House?
House members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
The roll shows 29 yeas, 10 nays.
For a total vote of 45 yeas, 14 nays, and 1 absent.
So the governor's veto has been defeated. Right?
I took 40 votes.
Yes. So the bill has passed the joint session, has been adopted, notwithstanding the governor's veto. Senator?
Mr. President, I move to ask unanimous consent that the joint session stand in adjournment.
Joint session is
House, please stand at ease. Before I ask the majority leader for an adjournment motion until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, are there announcements? Representative Adams?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Finance will meet in 15 minutes.
Are there other announcements? Representative Martin?
Yes, sir, Mr. Speaker. Labor and Commerce tomorrow will meet at 1 o'clock to consider Senate Bill 45, which is a contract of bonding.
Representative Sutcliffe?
Yes, House Resources will meet immediately upon a motion to adjourn.
Are there other announcements? Other announcements? Representative Halford?
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.